Now I want to talk about New Zealand, because New Zealand has had two referendums on electoral system questions, and is going to have a third. When I say it's going to have a third, the current Prime Minister of New Zealand has promised a third referendum. Now, all I know about it is what I learned from watching these arguments and referendums and all that sort of thing over the past 25 years. And I was aware that when the second referendum produced a vote 54% for the mixed member proportional system, 46% to preserve the old first-past-the-post system, when that happened, a widespread belief was created, and I don't know whether the belief was justified or not, that there would be a referendum. The impression I formed was that the Labor Party never wanted another referendum and are actually quite happy to keep the MMP system there forever. That's the impression I've formed. I've also formed the impression that the National Party wanted a referendum in order to get rid of MMP and replace it by a different system. So it seems to me it is a partisan question in that sense. The National Party has a view, and more or less everybody else has the opposite view. More or less. Not quite everybody else, because there are quite a lot of Labor Party supporters who think of these things in the same way as the National Party think of them. So, anyway, being aware of the high probability that there would be a referendum, another referendum, when I last attended the American Political Science Association gathering in Boston in August 2008, I passed through Wellington, New Zealand, and I caused myself to get half an hour talking to John Key, who was then the leader of the opposition, who was expected to become Prime Minister, and his office agreed that I should be given half an hour to lecture him, if you like. And the truth is, I did almost all the talking. He made occasional remarks and sounded interesting. At the end of my talk, however, his chief of staff said, "Look, that's all very interesting what you've said. We should keep in touch," and I continue to keep in touch with his chief of staff, and I've given Jeff a copy of my latest letter to him. Anyway, this is what I proposed to him, John Key, and what I still propose. The reality is that New Zealand can have any one of three systems. There are three possible systems for New Zealand. They are the existing system without change, or the mixed member majoritarian system, or the single transferable vote system. Now, these systems were considered in the first referendum in 1992, but in my opinion, and in the opinion of the PR Society of Australia, the single transferable vote option was put in the wrong form. It was put in that form. Now, why was the single transferable vote option put in that form?
What do you mean by that form?
That is the statiocratic single transferable vote system with the ballot line and the party boxes above the ballot line, and that is a Senate ballot paper to make look like a New Zealand ballot paper. Now, everybody knew that where you have lower houses, you have what I call the democratic form of the single transferable vote system. And what I'm proposing is that the single transferable vote system should be considered again. And this is the reason I say that. At the last referendum, where the arguments, in my opinion, were not about electoral system questions at all, they were about economic policy. The arguments were about economic policy. The fact is, you'd had successive governments of both parties getting in and doing all manner of things which they'd never given the slightest indication that they were going to do. You had Howard's work choices multiplied several times over by both parties, and the public became completely jack of it. And that is what enabled the reformers to say, this dreadful two-party system in which we have everybody else locked out of the system doesn't produce the traditional two-party system that's supposed to be so desirable. What it produces is what you've had for the last 15 years. All your assumptions about the economy are all turned up. Politicians going for all this reform for which they had no mandate. What is needed now is to foist a reform on them. In other words, they've foisted on you all the reforms that you don't want. what we should now do is foist on them what they don't want, namely a proportional representation system. Now, in the interim, however, the Labor government had appointed a Royal Commission which reported in 1987. Now, if you read that report of the Royal Commission, you are struck by the breadth of its stasiocracy. It is utterly stasiocratic from beginning to end. They don't use the word stasiocracy, of course. What they say, basically, is party government is all that matters. The party should be given a number of seats which is in proportion to their vote. The rest doesn't matter. The people should be told just to vote for a party, which is what they want to do anyway. And that's the way we should proceed, and they recommended the mixed member proportional system, which was a new term they gave to what was then the German system, Germany being the only country to have this. Now, the origin of the German system was that far from being a compromise between the British system and European systems, it wasn't that. It was a European system incorporating certain elements of the British system, but with significant changes so that it really, the German system is a party list proportional representation system. That's really what it is. Though it appears not to be that. Now, the Royal Commission thought to themselves, we think we can sell this. Now, if you read their report, you don't get the impression that that is what motivates them. But if you talk to the Royal Commission members, you know perfectly well that is what they had in mind. So that when they send 10 pages comparing and contrasting MMP with a single transferable vote, they make all manner of comments which are quite outlandish. They make absurd criticisms of Ireland because by discrediting Ireland as a country, they can discredit the system which prevails in Ireland. And basically, they spend 10 pages purporting to be fair in comparing the single transferable vote with the MMP system. It's completely unfair once you know anything about it. But anyway, that's what they wrote. Now, I will say this for them. There are actually two things that can be said in favour of MMP. There are two things that can be said in favour of MMP. Thing number one, they thought if you bring in MMP, you will get more Maori, Asians, Pacific Islanders, gays, women, transsexuals, and anybody else that's a minority kind of group. And that these kinds of groups should be allowed to increase substantially, and the way you do it is to tell the parties to balance their tickets, and you'll then get an increase in all these minority groups, and this is a good thing. Now, that is a respect in which they have been proven right. The New Zealand Parliament today does have more women, more Maori, more Pacific Islanders, more Asians, a transgender member, or there was one until recently, a Rastafarian, and all these minority groups are now all in the New Zealand Parliament. To that extent, MMP has been a complete success in terms of what the Royal Commission wanted. Now, in their argument against STV, basically what they said was, look, you can't allow the people to elect their representatives. You can't do that, because the people will be prejudiced. And what you will get in New Zealand, if you allow the people to elect their representatives, what you'll get in New Zealand is what you have in Ireland. Prejudiced people discriminating against all these minorities that should be promoted. Now, this is a fundamentally anti-democratic argument, of course. Fundamentally anti-democratic. The idea that you should just tell people, vote for a party, and the party will choose them. The nine Greens in the New Zealand Parliament are all appointed by the party. It's fundamentally anti-democratic. If you think in terms of the way Anglosphere countries have always done these things, because Anglosphere countries have always been based upon the principle that every member of every lower house shall be directly elected by the people. But anyway, they sold this idea. The other thing they did say, which is true, if you have the single transferable vote system, you don't really have a proportional system. What you have is a semi-proportional system in which it is possible for the biggest party in votes to be the second biggest party in seats and for the second biggest party in votes to be the biggest party in seats. Now, they're quite right about that, and if anybody is at all interested, I have devised these tables which demonstrate that the Hare Clark system in Tasmania and in the ACT, strictly speaking, should be described as semi-proportional. This is only the ACT. Here are the Tasmanian. But anyway, look, this doesn't impress me in the least. I mean, if one party gets a bigger vote than another, but gets fewer seats, it's just luck. There is nothing in the single transferable vote system to suggest that it is in any way unfair. They tried to make out that it was unfair. Or rather, less fair than MMT. Question?
Is that less votes after the preferences, or
if you add up these figures like I have done, I mean, for example, the most recent election for the Australian Capital Territory, Labor got 37.4% of the votes and 41.2% of the seats and is overrepresented by 3.8%. Liberal gets 31.6% of the vote and gets 35.3% of the seats and is overrepresented by 3.7%. The Greens get 15.6% of the vote, 23.5% of the vote, and therefore they are overrepresented by 7.9%. Everybody else gets 15.4% and gets nothing.
But the 15.4% have gone into the other three.
They've fallen below the
presumably. In the right ratio.
Well, they may well have distributed their preferences, but they may well not have done so. But anyway, this is an argument used by MMT supporters. The argument is that under MMT, the biggest party in votes must be the biggest party in seats, and the second biggest party in votes must be the second biggest party in seats, and that is actually true. Now, I don't think it matters, because to the extent that you get the disproportionalities under Hare Clark, it is just luck. There's nothing unfair about the result of the ACT most recent election or the Tasmanian election. It's just that it happens to work out that way. To me, the single transferable vote system is patently a superior system to MMP, which is, in my opinion, a semi-proportional contrivance. So, where do I go from there? I tell you what I say. I say that the Royal Commission basically determined their recommendation on the basis of what they thought they could sell to the public. They thought they could sell this to the public for the following reasons. Firstly, it did not include preferential voting, and New Zealanders are not accustomed to the idea of preferential voting. It did include single-member constituencies, and they believed that in single-member constituency countries there is a huge prejudice in favour of a single-member constituency. Now, the other thing they thought was, New Zealand for the last 60 years has had a two-party system in which Labour or National wins, and the other loses, and you get majority government all the time, one or other big parties, and this has produced the economic policy changes to which I've just referred. What they said was, we've got to change that and ensure that no party ever wins. We're going to devise a system which absolutely ensures that the National Party can never win and the Labour Party can never win. When I say win, what I mean is the National Party at the most recent election would have won a majority of the seats under any system except the one they actually have. And most commentators in Australia would say John Key led his party to a landslide victory. That's what they say. But of course, the National Party doesn't have a majority of seats. It has to rely on three other parties to have a coalition government to be stable, and I therefore argue that the MMP system is actually a semi-proportional contrivance and not a proper system of proportional representation. But anyway, if you're interested, I'll take you through these bits of paper that I've given. Firstly, the result of the election most recently. That's what I'm sure. Now, what you can see is that the fourth biggest party received nothing at all. The fourth biggest party, New Zealand First, got 4.07% and won nothing. The biggest, second biggest and third biggest parties did, however, finish up as the biggest, second biggest and third biggest parties. Now, several parties with fewer votes than New Zealand First actually won seats. ACT 5, Maori Party 5, Jim Anderson Progressive 5 and the United Future 1. I regard that as a semi-proportional system, which calls itself proportional representation, but then I'm the first to admit that the Hare Clark system is a semi-proportional too. I think the difference is an unfair semi-proportional system, MMP, as against a fair semi-proportional system, the Hare Clark system. Anyway, that's the result. Now, next turn over here. I am of the view that the Parliament of New Zealand, which is described as having 122 elected members, really should be described as having 70 elected members, supplemented by 52 party machine appointees. That's the way I describe it. Now, I set out the way the numbers have been falling over the years. The next thing I say is this. In my opinion, these indexes show the degree of proportionality or disproportionality. A high figure is a very disproportionate result. A low figure is a very proportionate result. I would say MMP is capable of producing a proportional result, which the old system was not. But I do not accept that in practice MMP is more proportional in practice than the Hare-Clark system as it operates where it does operate. So that's the point of that table. Now, the next point is to look at the mixed member majoritarian system. Now, let me describe the referendum I'm proposing, and I did propose to just John Key, and I'm still proposing. This is what I'm saying. At the next general election in New Zealand, due towards the end of 2011, there should be a referendum which is indicative only. The electors of New Zealand should be asked to choose between the single transferable vote system, which really means the Hare-Clark system, on the one hand, or the mixed member majoritarian system. The people decide which of those two they want. And at the following election, 3 years after that, the winner of that runs off against the existing MMP system. Now, I believe if that were done, MMP would be replaced by another system. But, of course, what I think I may have overlooked is the National Party strikes me as being terrified of the single transferable vote system. They're terrified of it. Why are they terrified of it? Because it's too democratic. Under the Hare-Clark system, if Hare-Clark moved into New Zealand to replace MMP, the party machines would no longer appoint the members of parliament. The people would actually elect the members of parliament. And National Party members would have to compete with other National Party members, and Labour Party members would have to compete with other Labour Party members. None of the parties in New Zealand want that. None of them want that. So for that reason, I'm not at all confident that they will actually do what I'm proposing. What they may very well do, I wouldn't be surprised if what they may very well do, which some people in the National Party say they should do, is simply accept that while they didn't like MMP, it's not too bad a system for the National Party. It's really better to just leave it there. But you've promised a referendum. Well, it's not difficult to design a referendum which has the outcome preserve the existing system. That's not difficult to organise, is it? What you need to do is say, the options are, I vote for the existing MMP system, or I vote to renew debate about the New Zealand electoral system. Now, if you did that, they would vote for MMP. Of course they would. Can you see why they would? Because I vote to renew the debate about MMP, or the electoral system, would bring back to everybody's minds all the wrangling about the economic reforms of the Longy, Douglas, Bulger, etc. governments. And everybody would simply say, well, we've got accustomed to MMP, seems all right, it's easy enough to understand. They would obviously vote for MMP if that were done. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they actually do. But if they do that, what I would say to them is, you want to keep MMP because you are terrified of the single transferable vote system. So my line of argument to them has been to say, I think, and I do actually think this, the probability is that the mixed member majoritarian system would win the first round and would then run off against MMP, and the mixed member majoritarian system is better for the National Party and for the Labour Party than the mixed member majoritarian system. The mixed member proportional system. Now, do you all understand the distinction between mixed member proportional and mixed member majoritarian? Do you all understand that distinction? Well, this is the point of these tables. Under the mixed member majoritarian system, everyone gets two votes. Everyone is handed a ballot paper that looks like that. Normal, single member, first past the post, constituency vote. That is the ballot paper for Mount Albert, which was the seat Helen Park resigned and therefore created a by-election, and that's that. Then you'd be handed another ballot paper that looks like that, which is a party listing. In other words, you'd be handed two ballot papers. Your constituency vote, that piece of paper which goes into that box, and your party vote, that piece of paper which goes in that box. And one lists candidates like that, and the other lists parties like that, and possibly has pictures of the leaders of the parties. Now, I'm sure you can all understand instinctively that would produce a different result to MMP. It would be a markedly different result, would it not?
Yes.
But just in case you doubt me, I've set out in one of these tables how different it would be. Right, now who would benefit from this? Well, the short answer is the beneficiaries would be the Labor Party, in most circumstances, the National Party, in every circumstance, and those parties which now get nothing because they fall below the threshold. Under the mixed member majoritarian system, you would distribute the party list seats proportionally between the parties. And the constituencies would simply be won by the parties, and that would be that. Now, I argue that it's in their interest, the National Party's interest, to do what I'm proposing. I'm not sure whether they will see it that way. All I can tell you is that they do display interest in what I'm saying. But they don't like the idea of the single transferable vote, but they do seem to accept that if the single transferable vote is to be put again, it must not be in the statistocratic form. And that's why I've sent them these ballot papers with reproduction rotation, because that's the way it should be done. The single transferable vote in New Zealand, if it were to come into being, should be the Hare-Clark system as it operates in the Australian Capital Territory, which is why I have included this district magnitude table, because what you'll notice is that seven-member magnitude, there's only one such case of it in Malongla in the ACT. But I argue that the Maori seats, there are seven Maori seats, should be elected by that system. That would have the effect that the Maori seats would be distributed fairly between the parties, would it not? Would you not agree? If you had the single transferable vote with the Hare Clark system, seven Maori members, elect them from New Zealand voting as one electorate, you would distribute the Maori seats fairly between the parties. No one would dispute that, would they?
I would.
Sorry?
I would, because the Hare Clark system has this inherent bias in the way in which it's calculated. The method of voting, the method of recording the vote, I'm happy with. The method of calculating the vote online.
Look, I'm not willing to get into that particular argument with you. I'll just assert a proposition which I think most members of the audience would agree with. Most members of the audience, I'm sure, would agree with me. That if the seven Maori seats in New Zealand were filled by New Zealand voting as one electorate to the Maori people, by the single transferable vote using the Hare Clark system, that would be a fair way of distributing seven Maori seats. You may disagree with that, but everybody else, I'm sure, would agree with me.
I agree with that.
But let me contrast that with the way it currently works. Yes, question.
I understand that in New Zealand they use the MEEC system for local government.
Exactly.
New Zealand is familiar with...
It's one option.
Told by people that it's unpopular. I've heard people say that it's unpopular. And I say, well, what's your reason for saying that? And they say it produces excessive ballot papers, excessive length of ballot papers, and it's said to be unpopular. Well, to which I would simply say, well, if the single transferable vote where it now operates is unpopular, why don't you do what I'm suggesting? Because mixed member majoritarian will win. And will then win against MMP at the second round.
Malcolm, this mixed member majority, is that the system they use in the Japanese lower house?
Yes.
They've only recently introduced it.
The following countries have MMP. Albania, Bolivia, Germany, Hungary, Lesotho, Mexico, New Zealand, and Venezuela. The following countries have mixed member majoritarian: Andorra, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Cameroon, Chad, Cote d'Ivoire, Georgia, Guinea, Japan, Kazakhstan, South Korea, Lithuania, Madagascar, Niger, Oman, Pakistan, Panama, Senegal, Singapore, Taiwan, Tajikistan, Thailand, and Tunisia.
Ukraine's considering it.
Sorry?
Ukraine's about to consider it. They've already got a bill up for the parliament.
Anyway, can I just come back to the Maori question? The characteristic of the Maori seats at the moment, of which there are seven, is that the Maori party have been ripping them off Labour. Labour used to win all the Maori seats once upon a time. But in the days when a single member constituency system is likely to produce landslides, a party like the Maori party wouldn't bother, because winning the four Maori seats in such a system would, generally speaking, not give you the power you want. Now, admittedly, there are certain exceptional cases like Craig Ingram getting the balance of power in 1999 unexpectedly, but that's the way it works. Now, consider MMP, however. The Maori party, which came into existence as a result of a by-election, which is shown on my list of things, quickly realised that the dice are loaded against Labour and in favour of the Maori party. Now, you may not understand what I'm driving at, but I'll tell you an example. Supposing that I am the Maori party candidate for the Te Tai Tonga electorate, which is southern Maori. I can say to the people, and here's the ballot paper. These are ballot papers under MMP. There is a Maori ballot paper, and on the other side is a more normal case, Wellington Central. In the case of Te Tai Tonga, I, the Maori party candidate, can say this to the electors. Vote for me. I'm a good fellow. But you might as well remember, this is important, if I am elected, my party gets one more seat. Now, pity the poor Labour candidate. The poor Labour candidate who is trying to succeed a popular member of Labour Party who had been elected has to say this. Vote for me, I'm a splendid fellow, but look, I'd really better admit this to you. If I'm elected, it doesn't actually give my party one more seat. Do you all understand that this is...